Okay, what I'd like to do with you today is a discussion of a Mishnah and a Gemara about a minor and an antiki. Basically, the Mishnah tells me that Gerufa helps by Molyar. Apparently, Ketuma does not help by Molyar, right? Gerufa helps. By an antiki, the Mishnah says, even though it is gerufa, it does not help at all. Now, what we will try to do first is look at this sugya through the eyes of the Rishonim. And then what we will try to do is look at the sugya through the eyes of Re'elia, what actually a Molyar and an antiki was at the time of the Mishnah. And quite honestly, this morning, one of the advantages of this year is, or this current pandemic, is in the past, I would never be in the Beis Medrash with my computer. But now I am. So now I look around and I'm like, oh, I'm really interested in what a Molyar is and what an antiki is. And I actually balanced that this morning, which I hope that we will share with you. But first, let's do classical Torah. Classical Torah. Mishnah says you're allowed to drink from a molyar, you're not allowed to drink from an antiki. Zakti Gemara, what is a molyar? So the Gemara says if the water is in the inside and the coals are on the outside, that is a molyar. If you look in the Perush of Rabbeinu Chananel, on the side of the Gemara, Rabbeinu Chananel writes, what we say in English is punkt vakert. Rabbeinu Chananel writes exactly the opposite. Rabbeinu Chananel says that the water is on the outside and the coals are inside. The coals are in the middle. Just hold that. We'll come back to it in a few minutes.
Kisa Yad of the Rif have the same gear.
The Kisa Yad the Rif have that same girsa. There was an older tradition that the Moyer had basically the heat inside and the water on the outside. Our version is that the Moyer has the water inside and the heat on the outside. And on Tiki, the Gemara says there are two opinions. Either on Tiki is a Bei Kiri or on Tiki is Bei Dudi. What exactly Bei Kiri looks like and what exactly Bei Dudi looks like, you get the impression that Bei Kiri is you have a Kira, you have an oven, and there's like a hole in the bottom of the oven where they put the coals. That keeps the antiki super hot. Beidudi, you get the impression it's like a double boiler, and there are coals between the two levels. And because the coals are between the two levels, that's why it is super hot. If you say beidudi, certainly beikiri, which is even hotter than beidudi, is a problem. But if you say Bei Kiri, so Bei Dudi is not a problem. And the Gemara basically says that we have a proof to Rav Nachman that the halacha is based on Bei Dudi, or the definition of a antiki is a Bei Dudi, which again means the double boiler, ad kan the Gemara. Now, what is going on here? What is a molyar? What was an antiki? By the way, did any of you try to figure out what a molyar and what an antiki is? You should know when Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik said a shiur in YU, the year that his father, the Rav, retired, 83, 84. So his son, Dr. Soloveitchik, who is a professor in, he was a professor in Brno Rebbe School of Judaic Studies. He is like a world-class scholar. So they gave Dr. Soloveitchik the Rav's shiur to say. And Dr. Soloveitchik, they were learning Ketan Mevarchim, and around five shiur into Ketan Mevarchim, there's a sugya about fraziers, which is a French word for strawberries. If you look at the strawberries that come from Quebec, it says fraziers on the box. And Dr. Soloveitchik asked the guys, what exactly is this? Because Rashi uses the term fraziers, and the guy said it's strawberries. So Dr. Soloveitchik says, you're absolutely all wrong. Everyone knows strawberries are not around at the time. He closed the Gemara and said, come out of here. because they should have thought and known that frontiers in older French meant a totally different thing. Strawberries are not from Italy, and lemongrass, whatever it was. This was a So I am not going to kick you off of the Zoom call because you did not look up what a Moliere and what a Antichi is. What we will first do is read Rashi.
He kicked himself out of sheer many times.
Dr. Salvichik used to walk out of class all the time. I mean, I took him for like three semesters, I think. He hated the guys. He loved the girls. This is just like an interesting situation. Different story. Leah Lisa, now Soloveitchik. She married Mayor Soloveitchik, was in the class. And she could get nothing wrong. And I'm honestly, there's like only three of us. I could get absolutely I could get nothing right in class. Whatever it was, that was the way it worked. Okay, so now, Moyer Hagaruf, according to Rashi, this Mishnah is connected to Rashi's worldview that Perakira is really about Hatmana. And therefore, Rashi says that a Moyer Hagaruf is not Mosef Hevel, but an Antiki is Mosef Hevel. Meaning, we're talking about a case where you remove the coals, obviously, before Shabbos. The water is in this Keli before Shabbos. The halacha is that Hatmana from Erev Shabbos is usher if it's Mosef Hevel. Rashi tells me that a Moliere is not Mosef Hevel, but a Antiki is Mosef Hevel. That is Judaism according to Rashi. Now, Tosfos is bothered by a number of questions on Rashi. Tosfos quotes Rashi that the Antiki is Mosef Hevel, not the Moliere. The Tosfos says, "Ein nira." This is incorrect. Question one that Tosfos asks is like Tosfos's question throughout our perek, that we're not talking about Hatmana. Question two, it's very difficult that the Mishnah is talking about that you violated an Isser. In other words, the conversation of our Mishnah is, am I allowed to drink the water or not? Apparently, you are doing some sort of Isser. And why would we talk about someone who did an Isser? Now, this question I don't understand at all. This question of Tosfos, I think precisely that's the point. The reason why with the Antiki, it's also because I did an Avera. But Tosfos says he doesn't like that. Moreover, we had an opinion at the beginning of the parak that the Mishnah is talking about Lahachazir Tan. And when it comes to Shehiya, we follow the position of Chananya, that you're allowed to leave food, which is one-third cooked, food that is Maichu ben Drusai, you're allowed to leave it on an exposed fire. If that's the case, so then the water is probably one-third cooked. So what on earth could be the problem? Moreover, says Tosfos, the Mishnah is discussing whether you're allowed to drink the water, you're not allowed to drink the water. Well, we had opinions about if I did Shehiya be'isser, if I was wrong and I left food on an open fire before Shabbos, am I allowed to eat the food or not? And our Mishnah would be saying you're not allowed to eat the food. So our Mishnah is probably not going against those Amoraim that we had earlier in the Gemara, Rabbi and Rav Yosef. So therefore, Tosfos says Rashi is just completely wrong. Now, this leads Tosfos to come up with his own explanation. Tosfos quotes in the Riporas that when I talk about a Moliere Hagaruf, what I really mean is that you're taking the water and you are pouring water into wine. The type of wine that they had was not really drinkable. It was too thick. It was worse than Manischewitz. And therefore, their wine could only be drunk if you dilute it. Well, if I use water from a Moliere, I'm allowed to dilute it. If I use water from an antiki, I am not allowed to dilute that wine because the water in the antiki is so hot that I am not allowed to pour that hot antiki water onto my wine. That is the comment of Tosfos. Yes, sir, Ellie, how are you?
I'm very well. So Tosfos have the same definition as Molyon and Antiki as Rashi, just you're doing a different thing with it. Meaning, like, when you're
pouring,
because it doesn't define what
Mulya and Antiki are. Tosfos does not define what Mulya and Antiki are. You get an impression he's not arguing with the Metzius that Rashi presents. He's only arguing with the halacha that Rashi sets up. That according to Rashi, the halachic issue is what's it called? Is hatmana. And Tosfos is saying that the halachic issue is not hatmana. Right, that seems to be the issue. Now, according to Tosfos, what is the problem? So apparently the problem is that I'm pouring hot water onto the wine. And therefore what? So if it's a mulier, it's not that hot, so it doesn't cook. But an antiki is super hot, so therefore it cooks. I would read the Tosfos that Tosfos is a proof to the Chayi Odom's position that you cannot say that every Kli Sheni is by definition okay. Because a Kli Sheni, if it's Yad Nichves, if it is super duper hot, that Kli Sheni cooks. And certainly Irui. Now, by the way, usually Irui means I pour boiling water onto a solid. This case is an unusual situation. There I'm pouring my boiling water onto a liquid, onto wine, to dilute the wine, to make the wine drinkable. But Tosfos comments, you know what? Apparently, the Irui will not be a problem from a moyer because it's not super hot. Maybe Irui from a moyer. Maybe we're going with those positions that Irui is a klisheni. Perhaps. We're going like the Rashbam. I'm not sure. But if it's Irui from an antiki, says Tosfos, that's going to be a really big problem. Because an antiki, I'm just reading Tosfos' words, right? An antiki is super hot. Well, I think I'm pouring the water I'm pouring water onto the wine. So I'm pouring from a Kli Rishon, but pouring from a Kli Rishon is regular Irui, no? Irui means?
Right,
Irui
Kli Rishon.
Irui Kli Rishon, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, cooks. According to the Rashbam, it doesn't cook. I can read Tosfos that Tosfos is going according to Rashbam that ordinary Irui, meaning Irui from a mulier, does not cook. But when Irui is super hot, when the Irui is coming from an antiki, then everybody knows. You look down the street and just ask them, what's an antiki? They say, oh, that's really hot. So Irui from an antiki is a problem.
I always say the opposite way, that maybe usually Irui
maybe you end up in pretty much the same place, which is that some types of Irui are worse than other types of Irui. Some types of pouring hot water is hot enough to create a problem.
Yeah, it's a lettuce bowl, which we already talked about.
Okay, so you're suggesting that maybe the mulier is not Yad Saledus. Maybe. Again, it's not impossible.
But the other way, you have to say that the antiki is Yad Nechves Baal.
That's correct.
I have to make up a new halacha and have to have all the same dolchas.
I would argue that an antiki is so hot that it cooks. Again, I'm not arguing anything. I'm reading a Tosfos, gentlemen. This is not me.
How are you picking up on what the two? There are two perfectly valid options that both have the same exact dochas and the same exact revachs. Which one?
And
are
as the question on? Is Tosas going like the Rashi or like the Rabbeinu Tam?
You can read it either way.
Right, that's fair. It's fair. But all I'm saying is, I get the impression that Amulya is also pretty hot. It's just not super hot, right? And Antiki is super hot. Now, why I'm saying this, I'm not exactly sure. You're suggesting that maybe Molier is not hot and Antiki is hot, right? But I don't know if fundamentally we are disagreeing. No. So you don't right. So I would say that maybe our Gemara, perhaps our Gemara, is some sort of indication that the Chaya Adam is right. I'm not sure, but perhaps there is some sort of proof that when it's super hot, it is a problem. Now, if you look in the Pnei Yehoshua, has two opinions within Tosfos. Meaning, the first opinion is that according to Tosfos, since the Antiki is so hot, so therefore it is Mechzi Kimavashel, I would have thought that a Molier is also Mechzi Kimavashel. I would have thought that Molier also has the appearance of cooking. So Tosfos says, you know what? It doesn't have, so excuse me, the Pnei Yehoshua says within Tosfos, that a moyer, because it doesn't get that hot, it doesn't have the appearance of cooking. You only create the appearance of cooking when something gets really hot. That's the first opinion in the Tosfos, in the Pnei Yehoshua, excuse me, within Tosfos. Then the Pnei Yehoshua suggests that maybe it actually cooks. The Pnei Yehoshua says that maybe the Antiki really does the job of cooking. That's the approach of that Tosis has. The Pnei Yehoshua also reads that when I say you drink from the Molier and you don't drink from the Antiki, no one drinks from a Molier or from an Antiki, right? You take the water from a Molier or an Antiki and you pour that water into a cup and you drink from the cup. And that's what Rashi writes, Shosen Mimeimov B'Shabbos. You drink from the water. By the way, Tosfos then goes on, even though it's Chuchmuk Tzas from the Kli, since it's not Mosef Hevel, right, etc., that's what we discussed within Rashi.
Was there a Havamina somebody would say you drink straight from the Molier?
I don't know. I don't think there's such a Havamina, but the language of the Mishnah sounds like I'm drinking straight from the Molier. Now, why is it that Grufa Uketuma helps by a Molier and it does not help by an Antiki? Right? Remember, the Mishnah is basically saying that by Molier, Grufa Uketuma is necessary and it helps, but by an Antiki, it doesn't help. So Tosfos is commenting that, well, since the Antiki has very thick walls and the coals are between those thick walls, even after you take the coals out, it is still very hot. The Pnei Yehoshua goes on, and he is bothered. He says, one second, we're going to learn the next Mishnah. The Chamin L'Toch Tzonin is Mutter. You're allowed to pour hot water into cold water, as long as it doesn't make the final product super hot. So how can there be a problem when I'm pouring from the Antiki onto the wine? Why would that be a problem at all? So the Pnei Yehoshua first says, well, it's Mechzi Kimavashel. Then he says, maybe it's real Bishul. Why is it real Bishul? Because he argues the way they would dilute their wine is that they put so much water in the wine that the wine would be a real minority compared to the water. Is that true, by the way? There's a question I asked Dr. Soloveitchik. How much, I mean, the Gemara discusses.
The Gemara discusses.
One to six. Yaffa? Right? The Gemara says that like 1 to 6 is still counts as wine.
1 to 4
is standard. 1 to 4 is standard. So you get the impression that there's so much hot water, right? That's what the Pnei Yeshua is saying. There's so much hot water that's going to really cook the cold wine at the beginning. Then the Pnei Yehoshua has another suggestion with Tosis. He says, well, maybe Yayin is different than everything else. We had a halacha that even though Iri does not cook most things, again, however we read that Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei, but there is something called Kalei HaBishul that Iri will cook more easily. The Pnei Yehoshua says, well, maybe by wine it's a problem also. Because the expression that we have by Kalei HaBishul is that it's Gemar Malachto. It finishes the product. And wine is not a finished product until you dilute it with water. So maybe all Tosos means is that you are finishing the wine. It's Gemar Malachto. And therefore it is the equivalent of what we call Kalei HaBishul. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. This is all the Pnei Yehoshua's take on Rashi and on Tosfos. Comes along the Ran, and the Ran has a different interpretation of Mulia versus Antiki. The Ran writes that you're pouring the water from the Mulia, and you're pouring the water from the Antiki. Says the Ran, in order to be a Kli Rishon, it has to be that the fire is underneath the pot. Since a molyar has the fire on the side of the pot, the coals are on the side, therefore a molyar is never considered a Kli Rishon. An antiki, the fire is at the bottom. By a molyar, the expression of the Ran is, even though the coals is next to it, still it's low mikri kli rishon. The Ran develops an idea that to be a kli rishon, you have to be on top of the coals. An antiki is a kli rishon. A molyar is not a kli rishon. For the Ran, our Mishnah is making a halachic statement. Moya and Antiki both have the same temperature in them. But with a Moya, I am not pouring from a Kli Rishon because the Ran teaches me that Kli Rishon means the fire is directly underneath the water. Antiki is a Kli Rishon. Moya, says the Ran, is not a Kli Rishon at all. That's his approach. If you do not take the coals out of the molyar, then it's considered a Kli Rishon when the coals are there. But molyar hagaruf, once I take the coals out, it loses its status of a Kli Rishon entirely. This is Judaism according to the Rabbah. Let me note, 1 second, Ellie, that there is not a single opinion who agrees with the Ran in terms of the distinction between Kli Rishon and everything else. The Ran's idea that it can only be a Kli Rishon if the fire is underneath the pot, that idea is completely not accepted by anyone in Judaism. If you look in the Shvisas HaShabbos, in his introduction to Bishul, Os Yud Dalid, the Shvisas HaShabbos notes that no one agrees with the Ran. It's a collector's item, but it's not really relevant lahalacha. Ellie?
Yeah, but then I've been asked according to the Ron, so if you had like some situation like you have some former ovens, which wouldn't be Klirishon.
Right. I mean, again, according to the Ron, it might be relevant, but as a matter of halacha, I don't accept that. Now, I should note that however I take the Ran, for the Ran, if I do not remove the coals, so the Mulyar is considered Iroi from a Kli Rishon, because a Kli Rishon that has fire with it is super duper problematic. Once you remove the coals, then I have my distinctions between my Mulyar and my Antiki. But until I remove the coals, they are the same, because the halacha of Iroi Mekli Rishon, apparently, only is a relevant halacha once the coals are removed. But to pour from something that is still connected to the fire is underneath it, or even the real fire is on the side of it, but when the fire is there, that's for sure a problem. This idea is really what the Chazon Ish is quoted as saying, although to the best of my knowledge, the Chazon Ish did not write this. There are some, if you look in the Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasa, he quotes, if you look in the Shmirah Shabbos, so he quotes that some poskim are machmir on the following scenario. If I make a cup of tea, so I take water from my urn. My urn has the heating element inside it. I put that water into that first cup. What's the status of that first cup? Now, normative Judaism is that that first cup is a kli sheni. The fact that my urn is on doesn't matter. I'm going from kli rishon al gabe ha'esh into a kli sheni. That's the limit of Judaism. But the Shmir Shabbos Kochas, I believe it's in footnote 3 of his Perek on Bishul. Shmir Shabbos says, well, the Chazon Ish says that when you take water from an urn that is really on top of the fire, so that is considered, that cup that I pour the water into has a status of a Kli Rishon itself. Now, there might be evidence to this position from this Ran. Not that I accept the Ran, but the Ran is noting that the Iroi from a Kli Rishon that is on the fire is much more problematic. Even a Mulyar, if you don't take the coals out, it's not because it's really hot or anything like that. For the Ran, that doesn't matter. For the Ran, the issue is, so long as the coals are there, it is Iroi from a Kli Rishon, no matter what, which is going to be problematic no matter what. Right? So I would say that the Ran maintains that, that Iroi from a Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh is worse than Iroi from a Kli Rishon not on the fire, which is exactly what the Chazon Ish says. Fair?
Is that exactly what he's saying? He's saying Iroi from a Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh is as bad as Iroi from a Kli Rishon that was on the fire. He's only saying that by Mulyar, once again, all he's saying is that by Mulyar, the reason why Garuf would be a problem is because of the Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh. He doesn't say necessarily that Anabatu would be more machmir if there were coals still there.
And again, I think an Antiki. The Antiki.
If the coals
are there, Antiki is there. A problem, even if the coals are not there.
Right,
but the, all I see from the Ran is that when the fire is there, we raise it one level. Right? When the fire is there, something which otherwise.
But he only ever makes it into the halachas of a Kli Rishon. He never makes it into halachas that are more machmir than a Kli Rishon.
Fair.
This category Kli Rishon she'agabayesh is not mokhav that exists on the ground.
I think that's a somewhat fair point, but nonetheless, I think just like I have a little evidence to the Chaya Adam. I have a little evidence to the Chazon Ish. Again, I'm just working in the dark over here. I don't know what a Moyer is, what an Antiki is. My guess is that the Rishonim probably also would not go to a store and ask for a Moyer and be able to buy it, right? We're trying to figure out what they are and what the halachic issues involved is.
The word was a miliarium, apparently.
There is a Greek word, miliarium, and a Greek word, otepsa. We're going to read this in 5 minutes. We'll get there. We will get there, I hope. Let me go like this. Okay. Can you see my shared screen, gentlemen? Okay, so we will talk about this in a minute, but before I talk about the pictures, I want to just tell you that the Rashba understands the sugya very differently. For the Rashba, I am pouring water into the kelim on Shabbos. We have understood until now that I'm pouring the water from the Moyer, from the Antiki, into something else. The Rashba quotes from the Rabbeinu Yonah, with the Moyer and the Antiki, is that I'm pouring the water into it. Because an Antiki is super hot, water that I pour into it, that water is cooking, is getting cooked. And therefore, it is a problem. But the Moyer is not hot enough to cook the water. That's the way the Rashba learns the Gemara. Again, effectively, what we're trying to figure out is what is a Moyer, what's an Antiki, what's the difference. Rashi has his approach that it's based on Hatmana. Tosfos says that the Rashi is what Rashi said throughout the Perek, but Rashi's opinion throughout the Perek is not accepted. I should point out that one could accept the Rashi's opinion of Hatmana and Daf Mem Aleph, even if you don't accept the opinion throughout the Perek. And that's because Hatmana means that I wrap something in towels, I keep it hotter because it is enveloped. Well, if you have the coals on the outside and the water in the inside, so that would be paradigmatic Hatmana on some level, no? What am I doing? I have water that is surrounded by coals. That is Hatmana. So again, Tosis does not agree with this, but I would have argued that perhaps that's why it's Hatmana. I should note also that the Ran's approach, that there's a difference between the fire on the bottom and the fire on the side, that approach does not account for what the Gemara said in terms of a difference between Beikiri and Beidudi. The difference between Beikiri and Beidudi seems to be how hot it is. According to the Ran, how hot it is not really a factor in the Gemara. The factor is the fire on the top, is the fire on the side, or is the fire at the bottom? But the fact that it's super hot does not really seem to be relevant. So again, I don't understand Rashi. I don't understand Tosfos. I don't understand the Ran. I don't know exactly what is going on here. I gave you, the fellows in front of me have this printed out. The others of you have a sheet, the others have on the screen. Dr. Yehoshua Brand has a book that he wrote, Klei Cheres Bizman HaMishnah. Okay, his book is about earthenware kelim at the Mishnah. I would never have found this unless I have a computer with me in the Beis Medrash. Right, so that's how I found it. Now, just like, who was Dr. Yehoshua Brand? So he came over from Transylvania. He ended up studying in the Hebrew University, getting his doctorate. He was not hired by the Hebrew University, even though apparently he was a world-class scholar. He was not hired because he had a very sharp pen. And anyone who would write an article in his area of expertise, he would write a review. He has like dozens of reviews, and his reviews always said something to the effect of, you're a big idiot. Now, you don't want that type of person to be on your faculty, and hence he was not hired by the Hebrew University. He ended up teaching later on in his career in Tel Aviv University. At one point in 1954, his book is basically his doctorate. Many people, their first book is their doctorate, which they then publish. His doctorate came out in 1946. His book is published in 1954. He is up to receive Pras HaRav Kook, to receive the Rav Kook Prize.
He's alive.
In 1954, he was alive.
Oh.
And he's a candidate to receive the Rav Kook Prize. And Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, the editor of the Encyclopedia Talmidit, wrote a letter that you cannot give this fellow a prize that's named after Rav Kook, because this fellow writes what is called Kfira Gemura. Absolute heresy. What absolute heresy that he wrote? We spoke about cremation not so long ago. And the Torah says that Yosef is put in a coffin. Well, Professor Yehoshua Brand argued that Yosef was put in a coffin, and putting someone in a coffin is not an authentic Jewish practice. It was an Egyptian practice. And Jews would not put people in coffins, because when you put someone in a coffin, the person is separate from their community. Jews traditionally, when they would die, the pasuk says Vayeosef el amav, they become part of a larger entity. And he writes that the Egyptian notion of putting people in coffins is because that shows that there's like individual schar va'onesh, as opposed to the traditional Jewish belief, and this is why Rav Zevin felt it was kfira. The traditional Jewish belief is that schar va'onesh is only on the collective, not on the individual. So Rav Zevin wrote a letter that Dr. Yehoshua Brand should not receive Pras HaRav Kook. There is a website with all the winners of Pras HaRav Kook, and you'll notice that in 1954, there was no winner. And now you understand why. Because every other year, someone got this prize. Now, ordinarily in yeshiva, I don't know if we would discuss someone who Rav Zevin felt writes what's called Kfira Gemura, but I don't know anybody else who tried to figure out what a Molière and what an antiki is. So let's go. An antiki is asoy b'tzirat machane romi mivutzar. Basically, an antiki was built like a Roman fortress. You have hollow walls. There are four corners. It looks like a fortress. And in those four corners, you put water. You are doing this because it's a way of using less heat and getting more water as the output. And this keli has a Greek term called atepsa. It's a thing. You can look on Wikipedia, and atepsa is right there. It's a self-boiler that was known. If you look, can you see it under the on the right side? Again, I don't think I printed this out for the guys who only have the print version, but they have a picture of an atepsa, etc. That is what it is. So now, Dr. Yehoshua Brand, can you see the Hebrew screen again now, gentlemen? So he argues that this is called a antiki. That picture that we have right here is what the Mishnah means by antiki. And because it's hollow on the inside and they would fill it with coals, it would get extremely hot, and that would fit in with what we learned, that antikis are very hot.
Where does the water go?
The four towers at the side hold water. You see, it looks like a Roman fortress. The four towers at the side hold the water. By the way, the whole purpose of this book is that you can't understand Mishnayos unless you know some archaeology. That is his basic theme. The Yerushalmi writes that an antiki is problematic because even though it's grufa, the wind, he quotes Yerushalmi towards the bottom of this first paragraph, you're not allowed to use the liquid in the antiki because mipnei shem mischama mimiksaleha, it gets hot from the walls. Even though it's grufa, you can't drink from it. The walls heat it up. A different idea is that the Yerushalmi writes that the wind goes into the antiki and it kind of makes those embers burn even after you took the coals out. It's like if you have a bellows and you put air into something, so that will make those coals burn higher. Antikis were made out of metal. They would be put in a very hot place. Based on this, Yerushalmi speaks about somebody who had an antiki fall on him, and the guy got really sick, was in the sakana. That's the second paragraph. This is antiki.
Is this
movable? Is it? Apparently it is movable. I know, it looks like a city. I don't think this is drawn to scale.
Right.
But
I mean, drawn to a scale.
Oh.
It doesn't have to be the size of a city, it can be the size of a kettle. Just imagine a sheep pan.
Now, there, an antiki comes in two forms, as our Gemara says. There's antiki bekiri and antiki bedudi. Bedudi means there are two pots. If you look at the lower picture over here, actually both pictures, the antiki is like a square thing that is supported by legs. And there are two pots in it. Bedudi means there are double pots. What basically happened is both pots would become hot. They would take water out of the lower pot. When the water leaves the lower pot, the water from the higher pot would now enter the lower pot. And then they would pour water into the upper pot. That is the way the Rashba describes the sugya. The Rashba is saying that they are adding the water on Shabbos, right? That's really what they're doing. Again, it doesn't mean that the Perush of the other Rishonim is not correct, that the antiki is super hot like we showed the picture before, but certainly adding the water to it is more of a problem. Apparently the antiki had legs that were keragle chaya, it looks like animals. This is what it looks like. There are two pots, right? He explains, ha'echad gadol, ha'echad katan. They're attached to each other. He gives you this whole explanation of what an antiki is. What is a mulier? Right? What is a mulier? By the way, if you look in the Wikipedia article on samovars, these are older types of samovars that they had. Do people know what a samovar is? It's like if you'd ask your great-grandmother, but for a samovar, she would know exactly what it is. It's a big water urn. A mulier, as you can see from the picture over here, is a samovar, basically. They found muliers in the remains of Pompeii. Right? If you cut the mulier at the top, you see exactly what it is. They would put the coals on the inside, and the water was heated on the outside. That is the Perush of Rabbeinu Chananel on our Gemara, not the text of the Gemara that we have. The evidence from archaeology, again, we don't know exactly, right? If you dig up a keli, the keli doesn't have a dog tag on it that says, I am a mulier, but they figure out that this is the type of keli which was called a mulier at the Gemara. They would remove the ashes from it. The top of it had a special cover which would keep the heat inside, but it did not nearly get as hot as a mulyar. The archaeologists call this an autepsa. That's what he has in the second paragraph. But we all know that this is the mulyar, which is really called a miliarium, a Roman type of thing. And the Gemara explains, Heichidami mulyar, mayim befnim nozlim bachutz. This is the mistaken girsa. The proper girsa is what Rabbi Elchanan says. He notes that mayim bachutz v'nozlim mibifnim, right? That basic v'gacholim, excuse me, mibifnim. If the coals are in the outside, not on the inside. Now, I don't know exactly what to do with any of this. I just thought it was interesting because this is the first picture I ever saw of a mulyar and an antiki.
What's the issue with the
issue with the what?
Miliarium.
Well, this is what a miliarium is. That's the picture.
Right?
It's called, I tried to Google miliarium and no one had it. They write, like, do you mean malaria? No, I don't mean malaria.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants malaria. But
this other article.
The other article about autepsa.
No, about miliarium. It wasn't on Wikipedia.
Oh. So I did not find another article. You can send to me. Again, it's funny that what we have over here is a sugya in Shas, a full Mishnah. There are halachic ramifications of this, right? Maybe everyone would agree that's hatumana when the coals are on the outside, right? Maybe Tysus is right, that pouring water onto wine is going to be a problem of real bishul or mechzikin mevashel, right? Maybe this is all correct. Maybe the Ran is correct, that if you have, that's only a kli rishon when you have the fire underneath. I don't know. And la halacha, I don't know what's going on here. Because this sugya is not quoted by the poskim. And I would argue that maybe the reason it's not quoted by the poskim is because they did not know, how are you going to write this in Shulchan Aruch? A mulyar, an antiki? No one's going to know what you're talking about. And my guess is that the Rishonim were trying to figure out the Gemara to the best of their ability, but they didn't really know what it exactly it is. Right? With archaeological evidence, we know what a mulyar is, what an antiki is, and we have these very beautiful pictures of mulyars and antikis. Okay, this is my understanding of Judaism for today. Gentlemen, we should have a good Shabbos. And we'll go on from here. Good Shabbos. Kol Tov.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.